observe the Lord's Supper this evening, I'd like us to continue in our study of Christian assurance. So please open your Bibles tonight, first of all, to 1 John 5:13. As we remember this verse that summarizes the little book of 1 John. The book of 1 John is a book written to help Christians to know whether or not their assurance is well grounded and to rejoice in their assurance that God has begun a work in them. So in verse 13, John says, "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." And again, these things, interspersed throughout the little book, tell the one who believes in the name of the Son of God how he may know that he has eternal life. And we've already seen that in chapter 1, he tells that Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith, the message that the apostles witnessed. They were there, they watched him live, they watched him die on the cross. They witnessed his resurrection from the dead, and then they wrote about it. And we have the record of the apostles as eyewitnesses of Christ, and we are to believe in the name of the Son of God. But also, this little book tells us some other things that we are to look at, that our assurance that we are in him, that we are Christians, is well grounded. For instance, in chapter 2, he said in verse 3, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." We know that we know. We know that we have come to know him if there is a keeping of his commandments. This takes us a step beyond faith in Christ alone to save us, and puts us in the realm of observing in our hearts, is there the evidence that we have truly believed? Have we bowed to him as Lord so that our life manifests a loving and a keeping of his commandments? And if you go through the rest of the book, you find other marks of the Christian. Verse 11 in chapter 2, he says, "The one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness." Verse 10, "The one who loves his brother abides in the light." Chapter 5, verse 1, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." And so there are marks all the way through this little book of 1 John to tell Christians how to look at their faith and look at their life and determine whether or not indeed they do know him. And last week again we talked about what that saving faith is. It is a faith that goes out of itself and comes to Christ in hope of fulfilling the promises that he has given, that his word can be trusted, and he has said, "All who come to me, I will not cast out." So we go to him by faith alone and rely upon his death to atone for our sins, his resurrection to prove who he was, and to promise us life eternal. But now we move to the second ground of our assurance of salvation, and that is the inward and outward evidences that the Holy Spirit has indeed worked in our hearts. How can you tell? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a passage that I'm sure that you have heard many, many times. It's one of those passages that we memorize. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul explains what happens when one is truly born again. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, He is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come, or all things have become new. If any man is in Christ, new creation really is what it says. New creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. There's a change. This is the second ground of assurance. Has there been a change? You may very well believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so do the devils. You may believe in his resurrection. Satan saw it. You may believe that he is ruling heaven. The evil angels know it. But it does them all no good because their faith is not tied to him in submission and love. But now, believing that he really is the Son of God, he really died for my sins, he really rose from the dead on my behalf, how do I know that I know him? How do I know if I am one of these new creatures? So that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The second ground of our assurance. And there are two things I want to mention tonight about this second ground. What this passage teaches. If any man is in Christ, his whole man, his whole being must be to some extent, not perfectly, but to some clear extent, renewed. There must be a renewal. And not only must the whole man be to some extent renewed, but the whole man must be renewed to some extent in all his ways. That's what it's saying here. Old things passed away. New things have come. And so when we look into this second ground of assurance, we need to be asking ourselves the question, have I been to some extent renewed in the whole man? And have I been as a whole man renewed to some extent in all of my ways? Well, what does that mean? Well, the whole man must be to some extent renewed. If he's in Christ, he's a new creature. That means his understanding is renewed. We saw this morning, even, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 Corinthians 2, that no man by nature understands the things of the Spirit of God. We do not by nature understand who God is and what he's done. We're supposed to, but sin has darkened our minds. But when one is born again by God's Spirit, a new understanding comes. You begin to see the world and life and all things from a different perspective. Now you understand that when he died upon the cross, it was not just a moral example of how to be sacrificial for others and be nice. It was that your own sins were so offensive to a holy God that nothing but the shed blood and degradation, the beating, the cursing, the whipping of the Son of God could atone for one of your sins. And your understanding is different. You see some things now you did not see before. And when you look upon the cross and you see the Son of God crucified there on the behalf of others, and you understand that it was love in his heart, it was grace in his heart that caused him to go there. You understand something about him now that attracts you to him. You admire him in a way you did not before. You stand in wonder at his love. Your understanding is renewed. Your understanding of the purpose of the world and the universe is changed. That there is a God who overarches everything, whose purpose in history is moving along on schedule and shall be consummated on the last day. where every man, woman, and child will see that indeed Jesus Christ is Lord, and therefore everything that happens in this life is under that umbrella. And that there is nothing more important than knowing the Son of God, of living for Him. Your job's important, but it's more important to be holy for the Son of God. Your recreations may be fun, but now you understand there is nothing so satisfying to the soul of man as being in the presence of a God who loves you. Everything's different in your understanding now. And you begin to see the world through the eyes of a God who has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ. And you see men for what they are, lost and dying in sin, bound by Satan to their own lust and sins. Whereas once you may have pitied those who hated those who hurt you, now you begin to pity them when you see what their sins have done to themselves as well as to you. And your emotions and affections are changed. They are to some extent renewed. Your loves and hates change. You love things that you didn't used to care anything about. Oh, you must have read the scriptures many times or heard them read many times about the crucifixion of Jesus. And it was a moving story that one so heroic and sacrificial would think that he was taking the place of another and gladly go there. It's invigorating, it's inspiring. But now you see him crucified for evil thoughts that you have thought, for evil words that you have said, and evil deeds that you have done, for the hatreds of your heart against others, for an unforgiving spirit, for murder, for lying, for the immoral actions and thoughts that we go after. And there he was, nailed to a tree, the Son of God. Now you don't just admire him, you love him. And you hate the sins that sent him there. Oh, they're fun and they're pleasurable. Moses forsook the passing pleasures of sin in Egypt, for he was looking to the reward, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God. Now, those sins that once brought him pleasure now convict the heart that Jesus died for such things. How can I revel in things God has forbidden? And the heart begins to fall in love with the Son of God. You begin to see the kindness of God, that he would even be patient with you year after year, waiting for you to return to him, putting up with the sins in your life till in his time he opened your heart to see Jesus Christ. And you love him for that, for his patience and kindness. And you say, Lord, what am I that passing by so many, the golden beams of thy love should shine upon me? Your affections change to a God who's no longer some cruel taskmaster keeping you from having fun, but one who, noticing and caring for your desperate position and destiny, said, Son, would you go and die for them? Would you go and be humiliated that they may be exalted? Though they be poor, though you be rich, you go become poor that they may become rich. Would you do that for them? And your loves change. And your will changes. Paul said, I do not do the things that I want to do. I do the very things I hate, and I find myself wishing to do different. Even when I fall into sin, as it were, deep down, it is against my secret and deepest will, because God has changed me. If I could, I would live every day for the Son of God. I would love men as He told me to love them. I would love God as He wishes me to. And I would turn away from the sins that still plague me, yearning to be free from them in every way. You see, if a man is renewed, he's renewed to some extent in his whole being, in his whole person. His mind thinks differently, his emotions feel differently, and his will seeks and chooses differently in what he does. To some extent, the whole man is renewed. Once dominated by sin and Satan, now the secret and hopeful desire of our hearts is to love Jesus Christ and to keep His commandments. Secondly, the whole man must be renewed to some extent in all of his ways. Old things have passed away. New things have come. His interests in life change. Hobbies are good. Work is good. Family relations are good. Friendships are good. But knowing Christ is better. These things may be enjoyed as gifts of God, pleasantly given, if held loosely, while Christ is held tightly. Our interest in life change, seeking to know Him each day, not just thinking of Him on Sunday and Wednesday nights or when we just have our devotion, but going forth into the world to love Him and honor Him. Our worship changes. How bored I used to be in Christian worship. As a child, as a young person, whispering, writing notes, drawing jet planes, or anything else I could do to not concentrate upon the reading of the Word of God nor its teaching. Singing hymns mindlessly, not even thinking about what an Ebenezer is while I sang it. But now, something has happened. The whole man is renewed to some extent in his worship. He begins to deal with his wandering thoughts and his tired body. And he looks at the songs and he tries to understand them while he sings them. And he looks at the scriptures while they're read. And instead of thinking mindlessly of work or play or what goes on this afternoon, instead, he tries to concentrate upon what God has said and inspired in this book that are words of truth for the soul. His worship is changed. He prays differently. It is not that his prayers are perfect and he never loses concentration in his prayers, but he would know God. He would speak with God. He would desire to enter into the presence of God, and if not for the weakness of his body and his mind, admire him forever and sing praises and adoration to the King who suffered on his behalf, telling him of his greatness, showing his appreciation for his kindness, and enjoying the grace of God which has been showered upon those who believe it. And his outward work and vocation is changed. Many successful careers have been fueled by ambition, pride, and anger. Seeking to be the best, fearing insecurity and loss, angry that anyone would beat them, striving to be the best. But now, work is but a vehicle to live a godly life. Whether a farmer or a physician, a plowman or a preacher, a housewife or a professor, that as I serve the King of Kings, those with whom I meet in my work and vocation, I will treat with love and kindness as the King has treated me, and show forth his godly character and love toward other sinners like myself. And while the work may be full of much busyness and hard thought and hard labor, there is in the back of the mind that consciousness that comes from knowing that always the Christian is in the presence of his God. The eye of his great King is always toward him, watching over him, loving him, ordering all things for his good, even the difficulties of hard labor. And one is grateful that no longer are we alone and without God in the world. Human relations change. A man who once was selfish and self-centered and arrogant and opinionated and argumentative and angry begins to treat his wife with kindness and patience and a forgiving spirit and quits being so demanding upon her and becomes more concerned about how sacrificial he can be. A wife who once was manipulating her husband into doing the things that she wanted him to do so she could feel secure and happy, commits herself to the Lord Jesus Christ as her heavenly husband and goes toward this man who is imperfect, seeking to minister to him and show him what a Christian is. Forgiving him of his sins, loving him. Fathers and mothers no longer fearing their children and what they may think of them, now loving their children with patience and godliness and teaching and training and discipline. And children, once rebellious, once angry, once hating their parents, holding grudges, not even wanting to hear the voice of their parent call their name, now sees that were God to treat them that way for one moment, their destiny would be in darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And now by God's grace and God's patience and love, looks toward their parents with a forgiving spirit, pitying their sin, forgiving their offenses, and seeking ways to show the honor and respect that Jesus Christ commanded them to show when he said, honor your father and your mother. The relations change. Lawful liberties change. Food and drink and sleep and work and clothing and houses and recreation, things that we are given and may enjoy, yet without coming under their power, addicted to them, ruled by them, compulsed toward them, interfering with prayer and devotion and worship and Christian living. Now we set our minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. And these things show that the whole man must be renewed to some extent in all his ways, where Jesus Christ comes now at the center of his life. And this Lord Jesus, who has shed his blood for such a sinner, now tells him how to live. The whole man is renewed to some extent in all his ways, and in some there will be greater progress than others. All will see difficulty and backsliding at times in some areas. None will see perfection in this life. But if they could, they would. And it is their great grief that they do not show more the Lord Jesus Christ, the love that they have in their hearts toward him. William Guthrie was trying to describe something about this when he said, "I grant many know not how to have respect to God's law in all their ways. But if it be made manifest to them how that should be done, they will point at it. And it is true, they will many times fail in their resolutions, in their practice. Yet when they have failed, they can say they did resolve otherwise, and will again honestly and without guile resolve to do otherwise. And it will prove their affliction to have failed in their resolutions to obey him when the Lord discovers it to them, which he will do in due time." You see, you can tell if you're a new creature, because the whole man is to some extent renewed. And he's to some extent renewed in all his ways. Perfectly renewed in none of them. But there is a change. For the King of Kings has become the hope and center of their lives. And day by day, they continue to seek to follow him. Hereby we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. The heart that has been captured by Jesus Christ bows to him in every corner and seeks to live for him every day. And when weakness and failure enter in, returns again and again in renewed repentance and faith and the seeking of a new obedience to serve the one who has loved them so well. Is this second ground of assurance clear to you? Have you been renewed to some extent in your understanding, in your affections, and in your will, what you seek after? And in all your ways, do you seek to come to Jesus Christ and bow to him? And though many times you may fail, you still seek him. And you return to him, and day by day see more conformity to him. This ground of assurance tells us that he who began a good work in us shall bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. And though you may not be what you ought to be, you are not what you used to be. And by the promises of Scripture, you are not now what you shall be. Because you know one thing, he is risen. Let us pray. Oh dear God, we ask as we look at this second ground of Christian assurance, the one that takes tender hearts and turns them round and round, the ones that hard hearts never even want to hear about, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit, that you would comfort the brokenhearted and the bruised reeds, the tender consciences. that need to know that God has begun a good work there, that they may persevere with assurance and hope. And I pray that if there be any here who hold to a confession of Christ but have not seen the whole man renewed to some extent, and to some extent in all their ways, that they would return to Jesus Christ even now and repent and bow to the great King who deserves the love and devotion and obedience of all of our hearts, and by faith follow him in keeping the least of his commandments. And we do thank you that we stand before this supper that tells us that someone loves us more than we love ourselves, that someone spared not his own life for a soul like ours, to bring us safely into a kingdom where there shall be joy forever. Help us to rejoice in this great salvation while our eyes may shed tears at why he had to die. And we ask that the taking of the Lord's Supper would make us even more appreciative for the sovereign, unconditional grace of God which has been shown toward hearts like ours, and that our love for Jesus Christ would be inflamed and our pride and arrogance would be cast into the dust where it belongs. We thank you for the Son of God and for the hope that the hearts in which God has begun to work in, he shall bring full circle into that eternal kingdom. So help us to turn our hearts to Jesus Christ today, to love him, and to keep his commandments. For herein is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. If there is any professing Christian here that must repent of behavior in the home or on the job or in the thought or in the life, I ask that you would cause them to repent now. Return to Jesus Christ for fresh cleansing and forgiveness, and renewed devotion to him in loving obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.